A national housing rights organization is giving the United States a near failing grade on its willingness to provide housing for all its citizens. The National Law Center on Homelessness and Poverty looked at how well the U.S. is complying with the right to housing, which is contained in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, signed by the United States. The organization found that while the concept of housing as a right has been embraced by a majority of Americans, government is falling woefully short of fulfilling that obligation. WBAI's Jose Santiago discussed the report with Eric Tarz, director of the Law Center's Human Rights and Children's Rights Program.
This is a report card measuring the United States against the 7 internationally recognized components of the human right to housing. We looked at the security of tenure, availability of services, materials, and infrastructure, affordability, accessibility, habitability, location, and cultural adequacy of housing in the U.S., because the human right to housing standard recognizes that housing is more than just a roof over your head. It's all of those elements that come together to make the full right to adequate housing complete. And overall, we give the U.S. a D. Here in the U.S., we are still the wealthiest country in the world. We have the capacity to meet the basic housing needs of every person, but yet we see poverty continue to climb, we see homelessness climb, and rather than actually trying to meet those basic human needs of every human being in this country, our country's primary response so far has been criminalizing homelessness, making it illegal for people to sleep on the streets or perform other basic life activities, or at best, providing emergency shelter and some permanent housing.
You are making some recommendations and you're urging policymakers to do some very specific things. What are you looking at there?
These are 10 policy recommendations that we see as the most critical. Starting off with increasing housing funding and access to resources, and then strengthening rights in other areas and improving economic justice and fairness overall. And we have specific recommendations in each of those categories, ranging from allocating at least $1 billion a year to homeless prevention programs, funding the National Housing Trust Fund at a minimum of $1 billion a year. Those are increasing dollar amounts, which, you know, we recognize in this time of budget crunches could be increasingly difficult. But there's also a number of other measures that we recommend that wouldn't take additional budget allocation. It works with the resources we already have. For example, the Federal Housing Finance Administration is currently proposing to sell off the toxic asset housing that they incorporated through Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and give them to developers to rent out. This is known as the REO, the real estate-owned REO to rental initiative. Mm-hmm. But rather than taking that housing, which was taken, you know, the public took a hit in taking those assets on, and rather than using it for the public good, we're just going to give it to developers to rent out at market or even above market rates. While within a right to housing framework, what we should be doing is taking that housing and ensuring that those developers, if they do rent it out, are renting it at rates that would be affordable to people that have been affected by this foreclosure crisis that these developers themselves caused. In addition to that, we have the McKinney-Vento Title V program that makes available federal properties for use by homeless service providers. These are properties that are vacant. You know, the government doesn't need them anymore, and they should be made available to homeless service providers to provide housing, to provide hunger assistance programs, and other job training and other services.
Here in New York with this Hurricane Sandy, so many people who were not homeless before are homeless now, and all levels of government are struggling to find places for them, and people living in borderline condemned houses under very stressful circumstances. I wonder if you've had a chance to look at this and you have some thoughts on it, because many people here are feeling that this is an area that was already had a housing crisis. It was so hard to find affordable housing, and then all of a sudden this natural disaster forces so many people out of their homes. Have you looked at this, and you have any thoughts on what that says to you?
Absolutely. We've looked at this long since before Hurricane Katrina, but particularly since Hurricane Katrina. There's been a number of advocates who are interested in bringing a human rights approach to disaster prevention and disaster recovery. The UN has a series of, they're called guiding principles on internally displaced persons, that the U.S. government itself recognizes as sort of the gold standard for disaster prevention and relief, and encourages countries abroad to use them as their guiding principles, but we refuse to apply them here at home. And these guiding principles are based on human rights standards, so it guarantees the right to housing, the right to return, which was prevented for so many people in the context of Hurricane Katrina, and looks at addressing the needs of people not just in the immediate aftermath of the crisis, but for as long as they continue to need assistance. Mm-hmm. It recognizes that there are going to be some initial difficulties as everybody is trying to sort themselves out following the storm, but if there were adequate and appropriate disaster prevention policies in place in the first place, those could and must be minimized, and then there should be plans not just for, as I said, you know, the month or 2 months after, but going out 6 months, a year, 5 years, because the effects of a storm like Sandy are going to be continued to be felt by the community for many years to come.
Eric Tarz is with the National Law Center on Homelessness and Poverty. He spoke with WBAI's Jose Santiago.